Welcome to the River of Calm's Beyond the Music podcast. I'm your host, Ed Basil, and the River of Calm is music to soothe your soul. And on our Beyond the Music podcast, we give you a closer look at the artists who are on the River of Calm. And today, in the studio, we have guitarist and composer Ken Verhicke. Ken, welcome.
It's good to be here, Ed. Thank you.
Oh, great to have you. You've been one of the founding artists on the River of Calm, so feel like, you know, it's an honor to have you also.
Well, it's such a privilege. I remember that, those days when you were starting, and I remember traveling on one of my tours, and I had to turn on and stream River of Calm so I could see if my song would come on, and of course, on this particular time, it did come on, and I was so thrilled, so thank you for that.
That was divine intervention right there. Well, I'm sure our listening audience do want to know about you and, you know, you, the guy behind the music. So let's get started now. How did you get started in music, Ken?
I got started probably around 1978, although before that, I was a massive music lover. And it all started for me when I heard Uncle Albert by Paul McCartney. And I went out and bought that. That was the very first record I ever bought. And I remember playing that over and over. For some reason, I was very intrigued by it and had this massive love for music. But I never became a musician until I was 19. Before that, I was a runner. I was a highly successful runner. I was undefeated my senior year in cross country and track.
Wow.
I don't look like a runner now.
but you still have the runner spirit in you, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Well, I slog every day. See, I say slog because I'm not even proud enough to say I'm a jogger anymore. But but back then I had Olympic aspirations. I went to Eastern Michigan University to run with them. And it was during the summer of 78. I plugged into a youth group after my first year of college to help them with their youth services at the church that I was going to. And there was a guy that played guitar and sang. And for whatever reason, I found myself really intrigued by that. And then one day out of the blue, he asked if I had an interest in playing the guitar. He gave me a second guitar to play along with him. He showed me chords. So I'd learned like trial by fire. But the interesting thing is I really took to the instrument, and it just, once I picked up that guitar, my life literally changed from
no kidding.
Yeah. From Olympic aspirations to I have to play music. And so it was the flip of a dime. My life changed.
And what was this guy's name that gave you that secondhand guitar?
Yeah, his name was Roy Van Berkom.
Roy Van Berkom?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
So we need to either thank or chastise Roy for this monumental pivot in your life. Huh?
Yeah, what's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful guy. And within the first month, I was writing songs, actually, and I formed a Christian band and played for about 5 years in and around the Black Hills area of South Dakota with this band called Jeremiah. And that's what started it all. But
no kidding.
Yeah, the big change, though, that happened for me was in 1982. I used to buy a record every week when I got my paycheck, and I'd always go to the record store as soon as I cashed my check, and I was walking through this aisle of music, and I have this massive love for jazz and contemporary jazz and fusion. So I was walking through that section looking at records, and then I saw this album with this stark photo of trees in the mist, and it just said, William Ackerman, Passage, Pieces for Guitar. And I looked at that cover. I didn't hear anything. I picked up that album, I looked at that photo, and I bought it just by looking at the photo. And I went home, put the needle on the grooves of that record, put my headphones on, and laid down on the couch and listened to side one. And that was another pivotal moment where my life changed. And I I think within me, this desire to create music that was calming and peaceful was embedded into my heart and life that very day.
Wow. So let me get this straight. Mm-hmm. Roy Van Berkom and Will Ackerman are the ones to applaud for this move, right? That, for you being where you are.
Yes. I love Will Ackerman's music to the nth degree.
Wow. Yeah. Very cool. Now back up just for a second.
Sure.
Now, when you were like 5 years old, 7 years old, running around in Michigan at the time, was it?
Well, actually, my dad was in the Air Force, so we moved quite a bit. Mm-hmm. I spent my teenage years in Michigan. So when I was 5 years old, it was probably around South Carolina, Charleston area.
Okay, so you're roaming the world at 5 years old. At that time, what did you want to be, or what did you have any thoughts on what you wanted to be?
See, now you're getting into some serious stuff here. I wanted to be an astronaut.
Yes, absolutely.
Because we had, you know, the space age that was happening in the 60s. I'm old, so let's just get that out of the way. Not that I'm ancient, but I grew up in the 60s. I was born in 1959, so everyone now can figure out how old I am. But the space age was happening, you know, the space race and all that was happening in the 60s.
Right.
And it captured my heart and imagination. And it turns out that I wasn't good at math, so that, that didn't happen.
Okay, so perhaps you're not the guy to be in the Apollo rocket there guiding it.
No, but I made many a spaceship in cardboard boxes. So
you and John Glenn, I'm sure, whereas he was right by your side, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Wow, but you came a long way from wanting to be an astronaut to being an Olympic, you know, caliber runner.
Well, I wasn't. I wasn't quite Olympic caliber, but that was my dream.
Right. Well, you were getting there. You were on that path.
Yes.
Got it.
Yep.
And now you have a guitar in your hand.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So you hear the Will Ackerman album. Then where do you go?
I spent the rest of my years throughout the 80s forming a few other Christian-type bands that were more rock-oriented. I mean, there are photos floating around, I'm sure, of me in spandex and really long hair. Probably 100,
again?
Probably 100 pounds lighter than I am. I'm always terrified that those are going to turn up somewhere.
Well, we'll hope to find one and put it on our podcast page.
Yeah, no kidding. Oh my goodness, I might have to give you some money not to put those up.
Oh, keep going now. So you're in your spandex age, right?
Right. So from there in the late 80s into the 90s, this love for the acoustic guitar returned. I stepped away from the electric and really dove headfirst into the acoustic again. And Alex Degrassi is another guitarist on the Windham Hill label that really captured my heart and imagination. And Phil Keggy. His Beyond Nature CD that came out around 1991 or so, it kind of reestablished this love for the acoustic guitar. So I put down my electric and picked up my acoustic and spent the rest of the 90s doing acoustic-based music and started focusing more on the solo singer-songwriter aspect of my life at the time. That's when I started touring. I quit my job of 13 years and started traveling and doing concerts around the country, mostly in churches, but coffee houses and at universities and that type of thing. And that's how I made a living for, 20 plus years.
How cool is that?
Yeah. Until coming to Michigan, and that changed things.
Oh, yeah, you're not allowed to make a living as a musician in Michigan. Is that what you're saying?
No, I just can't tour because my mother-in-law, we moved here. We moved here to help care for my mother-in-law. She has some memory challenges and heart issues. And so it is one of the most monumental things that my wife and it has ever done. Helping to care for my mother-in-law. So it just limits my opportunity to travel. So
understandable on that. So You're married, by the way.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. 20, mm-hmm. Any kids?
29 years. No kids, but four dogs altogether. Two dogs right now, but.
Mm-hmm. And dog spelled backwards is God. Okay.
There you go. There you go. That's perfect. Yeah. Yeah, we love our dogs. They're our fur kids.
Nice. Hey, I have to ask this, just because I have to ask this. Mm-hmm. When you were growing up with the guitar, were your parents supportive of you in music?
Yes, highly supportive. Because I stepped away from running, which I was mm-hmm. able to go to school because of that. But I sat down with my father after that first summer away from school, and I said, "Dad, I want to play music." And mm-hmm. my dad was, growing up, it starts really, I'm going to go back to when I was 5 years old. I remember I had this kite that my dad bought me that I wanted so bad from the hardware store. It had a spaceman on the kite. Mm-hmm. It was a huge kite. And nice. We got that ready. We took it out into the backyard where we lived, and it got taken into the sky by the wind, and all of a sudden the string broke. And
it
was a big kite, so I'm sure we didn't have the right. And it didn't even come down. It just took off, and I don't know. I have no idea where.
Bummer.
Yeah. So as a 5-year-old kid, I remember the feeling of heartache, because I wanted this kite so bad. So my dad went and grabbed some balsa wood and grabbed a newspaper, something that you read mm-hmm. and crumble up and throw away, or stick at the bottom of a bird cage. But he fashioned that into a kite. We ripped up another sheet, made a tail. He took that into the backyard, and that went up into the sky. And while that was, I'll never, ever, ever, ever forget, he said to me, "Ken, you were created to soar."
Oh, wow. Yeah. Very cool.
And all throughout my life, he always kept saying, "The only failure is a no try." And
nice.
Yeah, these are the things that my father spoke in my life. So when I stepped away from wanting to get into music and forego running, which I'd put so much effort and time into, his whole thing was, "Well, if that's what you want to do, do it with all your heart." And of course, until he passed away in 1992, I had been in pursuit of music ever since, and still am.
Wow.
I'm so stubborn. I won't give up. I don't have a plan B.
Understandable. You burn the ships and there's no going back.
Big time. I love music. Has meant everything to me.
I hear you loud and clear. I've got to ask, what was your dad's first name?
His name was Ed. Your name?
No way. Yep. Oh my gosh. Yep. I like him already. I've already liked him since he said you were going to soar. So that works. All right. So with Ed, let me see, Will, and also Roy Van Berkom, we've got you to the point, even let's go to today.
Okay.
You've got how many CDs out right now? Or you're a writer and composer, not just a player.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Right. To be honest, I have no idea. Because I was releasing music in the 80s, and of course, none of that's available anymore. I was releasing music in the 90s, none of that's available anymore. Mm-hmm. I think once I started to understand that, digital was taking over is when I more or less solidified what I had going at the time. So I'm not even tired. I'll just say that.
Okay.
It's not very specific, but.
You write a lot of music, in other words,
man,
right?
Every day I sit down to try and write something. Not to say that everything's great and amazing, which I don't even know if that is even happening yet. But I choose to be creative every single day.
Tell me about that. What is your writing process like?
Okay. What I like to do, first and foremost, is I'm very visually inspired. And so the things that I see around me, living here in northern Michigan, it's in the wintertime or in the spring or the summer or the fall, all this, the aesthetic of the world around me inspires my music. I cannot help but be inspired by even seeing leaves appear on branches. I have a song that I recorded last year that I wrote and recorded sitting on the deck, looking at the trees surrounding our, we live in a geodesic dome, by the way, which is, seems to be really appropriate because in the wintertime, it looks like an igloo, and I do have some Eskimo heritage. So, you know,
wow.
So it seems, yeah, I'm half Eskimo. So my mother was full blood Yupik. My dad was Belgian. So,
wow.
But I was seated on the deck looking out over all these trees, and they were like clapping in the wind. And I decided to call the song for an audience of trees, you know? So, mm-hmm. So I'm, the process for me begins by seeing the world around me, being highly inspired. And it generally starts with my guitar or a chord progression in my mind that seems to be mm-hmm. rumbling. So I'll either pick up my guitar or I'll go to the keyboard, which I am not a keyboard player, but mm-hmm. I know how to manipulate my, I know how to manipulate my studio. I walk into my studio, Ed, every time I record, and I say to myself, nothing is impossible. And that,
very cool.
Yeah. That's the way I go into that whole process, because the moment I start limiting myself is the moment that I walk away with the fear that it's not good enough. And if I walk into mm-hmm. it with this positive feeling, I feel like I can do anything, and I would do whatever I can to get to that point. And again, please allow me to be very sincere and say that I'm not saying that everything I do is epic or, you know, even worthy of anybody to listen to. But if I sit back and I like it and I go, okay, this reaches into my heart and life and it feels good, I'm willing to let the world hear it. So
nice. So you do joust with your inner critic once in a
while.
Oh,
I think everybody does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there can be mean and evil. I know I live with one that's mean and evil, but that's cool on that. Now, one quick thing. Let's say you get an idea rumbling around in your mm-hmm. head. How do you put it down or save it? Do you use an iPhone, notes, or do you have a studio and you put down a rough track?
Yeah, it works. I have a studio, and I've been recording myself since 1984. So through a variety of pieces of gear, and you know, now of course nowadays it's my computer, but mm-hmm. and of course the items that go along that help that process. But sometimes it's with my phone, like when I wrote mm-hmm. for an audience of trees. So you know, last summer I just quickly made a audio note, and I actually said what capo's position I'm using, what tuning, mm-hmm. and then I just lay it mm-hmm. down on that so I don't forget it. And then I'll come into the studio and start hammering it out. So mm-hmm. if it's an idea in my mind, I'll come into the studio again and fire up the, well, for me, Logic, and begin to hammer mm-hmm. out some ideas. And then I just save it so I have it. And I'll either come back to it, or I'll just keep working on it till I start getting to a place where I feel very content with what's happening.
Nice. Okay. So with, let's say, almost four decades of music and writing, what would you say right now at this moment is your favorite song? Because we want to listen to it.
That would be Lake of Remembrance, which you've been so kind to play that.
Beautiful.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah that okay. that was written in honor of my dad.
Honor of your dad, Ed Verhaeghe.
That is correct.
Oh, well, again, those words of his are epic. So let's take a moment here to honor Ed and listen to Lake of Remembrance right here.
Thank you.
again, what a beautiful song, Ken, and what a great tribute to your dad, Ed.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Now, where can our listeners in our community find your music?
They can start with kenverhicke.com, and that's kenverhicke.com. That's a good place to start. That's my website. Also, mm-hmm. it can be found on Spotify, Apple Music, mm-hmm. Bandcamp, mm-hmm. Deezer, all the popular streaming services that are out there. And
nice.
The River of Calm.
Go ahead.
The River of Calm.
Good answer. Good answer, Ken. All right. We'll keep going forward with more questions here. All right. So out of all this, when you got your secondhand guitar from Roy Van Berkom to now, okay, that span between then and now, what musically are you the most proud of?
Musically that I'm the most proud of? That's a good question. And I actually, that's something that's been rumbling through my mind. I would have to say the album called First Light, because it actually was the first time that I sat back and I said to myself, I like everything. And that has never happened before. There's usually when you release an album or a collection of songs, there's usually something in there that just kind of rattles your brain a little bit, you know, and you have to kind of let it go and let it be what it is. And I sure mm-hmm. have my snafus out there musically. I think everybody can say that there's albums that, in fact, I was talking with Chris Proctor, a national fingerstyle guitarist many, many years ago. I was helping him do some concerts in Western South Dakota, and we were out having a nice dinner one night, and he was telling me about one album he couldn't stand. And I thought to myself, I feel that way about a lot of my albums. So, you know, I think we all have albums like that where we kind of step back and we go, oh, I wish that could have been better. First Light.
Oh, heck yeah. Yes.
First Light was the first one. Now, I wouldn't say it's the best one because I think I've gotten better at my craft, but that was the first time that I sat back and I went, I like everything. And I actually feel good about it. So
cool. Yeah. Very cool. Now, all right. So people know you as Ken Verhicke, the guitarist, new age guy, the calm guy who writes from the world and the earth and the spirit and all that. What's one thing that people don't know about you, Ken?
Let's see. That I have this deep abiding love for ECM records. That come out of Europe, and it's a jazz label. I am a freak for the music that is on that label, for the aesthetic of their artwork and just the aesthetic of the music that they release. It's always amazing and top-notch. I'm not sure if anybody truly knows that about me. I think my closest friends know that, but I just love what they're doing musically, the ECM label.
All right. We'll check it out there and put a link to it,
awesome. Actually.
So yeah. Cool. All right. Now, if you had one musical wish you could grant yourself or the world, anyone, you've got the magic wand. What is that wish?
That we would all be able to articulate the gifting that each of us has. I think that's the one thing I love about all the artist friends that I have. We all have this passion to communicate and articulate the deep things within our hearts and lives. And, you know, we're all in such a pursuit of finding a way to show or articulate the good in the world. And if there was something I could grant to everybody, that would be that they would have the freedom and the ability to fully communicate what they feel within their hearts and lives.
Yeah. Nice. Okay. Now let's tie this to this last question now. We give you every billboard in the United States to spread your message around the country. You have just a few words to put on there. What would you put on your billboard?
That's a good one. I would put on there, and this is something I've lived by for so many years, life is a gift.
Life is
cherish
a gift.
Every moment.
Life is a gift. Cherish every moment.
I know that might sound cliche, but it truly is a gift. And I wake up every morning with the realization that I'm still here, number one. Number two, I have the most awesome privilege to get up out of my bed and live life with my family, my friends, with the music that is a part of my life and the artists that I know. Mm-hmm. It's an adventure, even in the midst of this season of life that we're experiencing in the world at the moment, which seems so overwhelming. In spite of all that, I still live and love life. And I want to cherish it because we're not here forever. And I learned that when my parents passed away. So,
amen on that. And beautifully, beautifully said, Ken. Wow. Bravo. There you have it. That was a behind-the-scenes look at guitarist and composer Ken Verhicke on the River of Calm, Beyond the Music podcast. I'm your host, Ed Basil, and the River of Calm is music to soothe your soul. May the calm be with you.